Genesis chapter 39, verses 20. Ready or not, here we go. We're going to read some verses here this morning, so follow along this afternoon. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Someone say prison. The place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of this chief jailer. The chief jailer committed Joseph's care, all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Turn to chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with the two officers and the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, get this, where Joseph was confined. Now, stop for a second, because it is believed that there was an assassination attempt on Pharaoh, but he didn't know who did it. And so in order to do an investigation, what he did was he locked up the two people he thought may have been in charge of the assassination, which was his cupbearer and the baker. And while they're in prison, it is believed that Pharaoh would do the investigation, and we'll find out what happens as we continue to read. Verse 4. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he waited on them, and they continued for some time in custody. One night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each of his own dream, and each dream with its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled, so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." Stop for a second. Pharaoh throws his assistants into jail, and it just so happens that they end up in the same cell as Joseph. Remember that in your minds. Verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it is budded, it blossoms, came out, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days, and within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hands, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer." Verse 14. "But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me this kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place. For in fact, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I also have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." Listen, no matter how blessed you are in prison, you still want to get out of there. Can I get amen? I don't care how plushed out your cell is, how many cup of noodles you got in your locker, how many phone calls you get, you get it. Joseph wanted to get out of this place. He said, "Remember me. Remember me." Verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, someone say, uh-oh. This brother saw someone else coming up, and now he wants to come up. Have you ever done that? Don't say nothing. He said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were three cup bakers' baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it, and of the basket on the basket of my head." And Joseph answered, "This is the interpretation. The three baskets in 3 days are 3 days, and within 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head from you." and hang you on a pole, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his cupbearing, and he placed the cupbearer in his Pharaoh's hand. But the chief baker he hanged, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. One last verse, chapter 41, verse 1. And after 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. Joseph does good to the cupbearer, helps him to get out of prison. And he tells the cupbearer, don't forget me when you go to Pharaoh. Don't forget me. And the cupbearer says he's not going to forget Joseph. So the cupbearer gets released. He gets back, restored back to the place of Pharaoh. And what does he do? He forgets him. Have you ever got forgotten? As a result of being forgotten, Joseph had to spend 2 more years in prison. Let me tell you something. 2 more years is a long time. It'll make any grown man cry. I've seen them. Believe me, for reals. 2 more years Joseph had to stay in prison when he did good and somebody forgot him. We've been studying from the subject, you will get through this. That's what we've been learning about these last couple weeks. And we're trying to feed you some faith to let you know that God is bigger than your problem, stronger than your storm, more mightier than what you face. That if you trust him and don't give up, eventually you will get through whatever it is you're going through. Can I get amen? Amen. Don't miss next Sunday, because we're going to conclude this series with a bang. It's going to be the most powerful Sunday ever at Chapel of Change. And I want to encourage you to come. One of the things we're going to do next Sunday is we're going to interview my mother on stage. And we're going to learn how she was able to endure the death of her 15-year-old son. In 1982... her 15-year-old son was shot and killed. And she went to a place where few mothers ever go when they bury their own children. 35 years after she buried her son, she talked to the killer for the very first time. And by the grace of God, in the midst of pain, in the midst of frustration, she was able to forgive the person who killed her son. And we're going to learn how she was able to do that next week as we conclude this sermon series. So you don't want to miss. And if you know anybody, if you know anybody who's struggling with pain, if you know anybody who's being held captive by what happened to them in the past, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a failure, whether it's anger, bring them to Chapel of Change at all services, 9:30, 10:45 in Long Beach, or here at 12:15, because we're believing that hundreds of you are going to be set free from bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. You will get through this. Whatever your this is, whatever your this is, it can be a divorce, it can be a death, it can be a failure, it can be a firing from your job, it can be a struggle with your spouse. You will get through this if you trust in God and don't give up. Yes, sir. It won't be quick and it won't be easy, but with God's help, we're going to put it on the board, with God's help, you will get through this. I want you to see this. I want you to feel this. I want you to hear this. I told you at the beginning of the series, I'm going to say it over and over again until you wake up at 1 a.m. with this ringing in your spirit. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You will get through this. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. Up in the balcony. Whatever your this is, you'll get through it. You'll get through that. When I think of the statement, I think of many people in our church, but one of the people that stand out is Sister Deidre Norvell. Sister Deidre has some fans in the house, amen? And She, along with her family, served the Lord in our church, and she helped organize our church picnic that we had an awesome time a couple Saturdays ago. But Sister Deidre has not always been the person she is today. And don't act strange, because you ain't been the person you are today either. Right? Can I get amen? You ain't always been the person you are today. At one time, Sister Deidre, at the early age of about 14 years old, she began to rebel. She began to rebel against her parents. She began to rebel against society. She started to live a life of partying all the time. And through the course of living this rebellious life, she developed a bad attitude. She developed a spirit of anger. And even as a teenager, that anger began to destroy her life until she found herself at the age of 14 years old, sent to youth prison for 2 years. 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. Does that remind you of Joseph a little bit? 2 years. While she was in the youth prison, she was staring in anger because she couldn't understand why her crime partners got off with a couple months, but she had to do 2 years. 2 years, 2 years. She got out of prison and she still didn't learn her lesson. Until at the age of 18 years old, she was gunned down and shot from point-blank range. Not one time, not three times, but four times. She was shot four times. I was shot one time, and that was bad enough. Four times, the devil tried to kill her. There was something inside of her that the enemy didn't want to see come out. Through the course of the shooting and through the series of events, God began to get a hold of her life. God began to get her attention, and she began to take one step at a time. You know, we always preach just one step at a time, that this is a process. It's not perfection. It's a process. She began to take one step at a time, and eventually God opened up the doors for her to go to college, and by the grace of God, she went to UNLV, and by God's power, she was able to earn a master's degree from UNLV. One step at a time. You're not where you're supposed to be, but you're far from where you started off at. Chapel of Change, we need to celebrate when somebody takes one step. When they take one step, we need to celebrate that one step. Eventually, God continued to work in her life, and God began to kind of help her out. And eventually, she got married to Brother James Norvell, who happens to be a police officer. Can you imagine that? Imagine how God works things out. Sister Deidre went on to be working as an adjunct professor for USC. For USC. Can you imagine from getting gunned down at the age of 18 years old, from doing 2 years in youth prison by the grace of God, to becoming a professor for USC, and more than that, serving the Lord in the house of God? Stand up, Sister Deidre. I want Sister Deidre to stand up. Let's give Sister Deidre. Let's give the Lord a praise for Sister Deidre. Yes. God bless you. God, Sister Deidre, God is not done with you yet. The best is yet to come. One step at a time. One step at a time. And I bet you if I gave her a mic right now, which I'm not going to do, she would tell you, you will get through this. You will get through this. You will. If you don't give up, don't throw in the towel. It's not going to be quick. It's not going to be fast. And it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. But you will get through this. We've been studying the life of Joseph for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And we're studying his life because his story is our story. Everybody in here has something of God inside of you that is of value. Everybody in here has something of God inside of you that the world needs. But like Joseph, everybody in here will eventually be thrown in a pit. Like Joseph, eventually everybody in here will be backstabbed. Like Joseph, everybody in here will be sucker punched by life. And hear me today, how you respond to adversity will determine how long it takes you to get to your destiny. How you respond to adversity, balcony, will determine how long it takes you to get to your destiny. Remember, we taught the difference between a dream and destiny, and that the dream is a snapshot of what God wants for you, but the destiny is actually living in the dream. It's living it out. The dream is a snapshot. Destiny is living it out. And the sad thing is that there's many people in this world that are living with the dream, but they never live in destiny because they're not responding to adversity correctly. So they stay trapped. They stay trapped. They stay trapped. We learned that there are four major places to Joseph's journey. There's four major places. There's the pit, there's Potiphar's, there's prison, and then there's the palace. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, and he was thrown in the pit. From the pit, he was sold into slavery, and he was sent to Potiphar's house as a slave. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of rape and therefore sent him to prison. And then in prison, Joseph stayed faithful to the Lord and eventually rose him up to the palace. Problem with our generation is we want to jump from the pit to the palace and we want to avoid the journey. The problem with our generation is we want to jump from the pit to the palace without going through the journey. And the warning of that, the danger of that you need to remember, it is that it is in the journey of life that God develops our character. It's in the pit, it's in the Potiphar's, it's in prison that God develops our character. And if you don't have the character, you're not going to sustain the destiny. So if you jump from the pit to the palace without your character being developed, you won't be able to stay there. Yeah, you'll get that house, but you won't be able to keep it. Yeah, you'll get that job, but you won't be able to keep it. Yeah, you'll get that spouse, you'll get that picture-perfect family, but if your character doesn't support your destiny, you won't be able to keep it. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? That's why it's so important that you don't rush destiny. That's why it's so important that when life gets heated, you don't run. That's why it's so important when you're on the usher team and there's a disagreement, you don't quit. That's why it's so important when you're on the worship team and things don't go your way, you don't quit. That's why it's so important when you're serving the Lord and things don't go your way at your job, you don't quit. Why? Because God is trying to develop your character to prepare you for your destiny. So we're studying the journey of Joseph. And he's in Potiphar's house. He has it made. The favor of the Lord is upon him. He probably has lots of money. He has a big room. But all of a sudden, things fall apart again. And he's thrown into prison. And we want to learn what he does in prison to prepare him for the palace. We want to learn what he does in prison to prepare him for the palace. And I got several major reflections for you to pick up this afternoon. Are you ready for them? Are you ready for them? Number one. Someone say number one. Number one. Joseph was passionate. Joseph was passionate. He is passionate. Or he pressed in to God's presence. Go ahead, put it on the board. He pressed in to God's presence. The Bible says that what I love is that while Joseph was in prison, it says that God went with him. So it says, but the Lord was with him. I like that God wasn't afraid to go to prison with Joseph. I love that the presence of the Lord is not with you to keep you from everything, but it is with you to get you through everything. Did you catch that? The presence of the Lord did not stop him from going to prison, but the presence of the Lord strengthened him to go through his prison experience. There was something about Joseph that was different than every other prisoner. There was something about Joseph that separated him from everybody else. And the Bible says that his master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw. There was something different about Joseph. Is there something different about you? Is there something different about you, about your speech than everybody else at your job? Is there something special or different about the way you behave than everybody at your school? Is there something different about you? There was something different about Joseph. And what was it? It was the presence of the Lord upon his life. He was passionate about the presence of the Lord. When you study the Bible, you'll learn that the Bible teaches so much on the presence of the Lord. From Genesis to Revelation, it highlights the importance of the presence of the Lord. In Genesis, it starts off with the presence of the Lord when it says the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the water. The Bible starts off with the presence of the Lord. Goes into the Garden of Eden, and what was happening in the Garden of Eden? Adam was having divine fellowship with God. That is the presence of the Lord. In Exodus, when God called Moses to confront the mighty Pharaoh to set his people free, Moses knew something about the presence of God because he turned to Jehovah God and he said, God, if you don't go with me, I will not go. He knew something about the presence of God. The children of Israel, when they were wandering around the desert for 40 years, one of the reasons why they were able to survive the atmosphere of the desert, the cold and the heat, one of the reasons why they were able to survive is because the Bible says that they camped around the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord led them with a fire by day or night and a cloud by day. The presence of the Lord sustained them. King David, when he sinned against God and he killed Bathsheba's husband and he fornicated with Bathsheba, and God was going to discipline him and God was going to do something of him. King David cried out. He said, God, do whatever you want to do with me. I'm willing to accept it all. But one thing don't do. Please don't take your spirit away from me. He knew something about the presence of the Lord. What's the big deal? Why does the Bible highlight the presence of the Lord? You know why? Because everything you need for victorious living is in the presence of the Lord. Everything you need, everything your soul needs for victorious living is in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that there's supernatural joy in the presence of the Lord. Some of y'all have never experienced supernatural joy. You're still dealing with happiness. That's all you ever dealt with in your life is happiness. And you got to remember that happiness is based on happenstance. And if it's happy, everything's happening, then you're happy. But if it's not, you're not happy. Joy is a supernatural power that comes from the Holy Ghost. And it comes from within, not without. The Bible teaches that there is rest in the presence of the Lord. God told the people of God, he said, I will go with you and give you rest. Is life grinding you down? Is life weighing upon you? You better find the presence of God. Better press into the presence of God. The Bible says that there's supernatural freedom in the presence of God. Apostle Paul said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Are you dealing with addiction? Are you dealing with something that is nagging you? Do you need to be set free? You better press into the presence of God. It is the most important experience you'll ever have in your life is the presence of God. Not the day you got married, not the day you started working, not even the day you had your first child. No, it is the presence of God that you need. This is why I'm so grateful about Chapel of Change is because we are a host for the presence of God. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but Sunday after Sunday, through the worship, through the word, through the fellowship, the presence of God meets us here Sunday after Sunday. And I see it. I see people weeping. I see people shaking. I see people groaning in the audience. And you know what that is? That is not man-made. That is not me. That's not the worship leader. That is the presence of God operating on your soul. It is the presence of God operating in your soul. doing for you that only God can do.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I tell Chapel of Change all the time, you guys are going to get mad at me, but I'm going to keep saying it. We do not sing songs at Chapel of Change. We worship the Lord at Chapel of Change. We do not sing songs. We worship the Lord. And you better be here at 12:15 when we start to worship and press in to the presence of God, because there's fire at this altar. There's fire at this altar. So Joseph pressed into the presence of God. Number two, someone say number two. Joseph passed the test of trust. Trust. Someone say trust. Verse 23, it says, the chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care. Joseph proved that even in the midst of suffering, he could be trusted. He proved that even in the midst of suffering, he would maintain his integrity. He passed the test of trust. Through suffering, he remained faithful. When things weren't wrong, went bad, he remained faithful. When people did him good, but bad, he still did good. Let me tell you something about suffering. Suffering doesn't change you. It just reveals the real you. Did you catch that? You hear people say, you don't understand what I went through. And this, I'm talking like this because of what I went through. You don't know what he did to me or she did to me. I'm like this because of them. No. Suffering don't change you. It just reveals the real you. There's several things in this life that will reveal the real you, no matter what type of makeup you put on, no matter what type of suit you put on, no matter what type of car you drive. There's a couple things in life that will reveal the real thing of you. You know, one of them is money. Oh, yeah, money will reveal who you really are. Another thing is suffering. Joseph didn't realize it at the time, but he was about to become the most powerful man of Egypt. And what God was doing before he lifted him up, wanted to see if he would be faithful in the dark. God wanted to see if he would serve him in the dark. The real test is not what you do when everybody's looking. That's not the real. Ushers, the real test is not on Sunday when everybody is looking at you. The real test, it was when nobody's around. What do you do when no one's looking at you? So often God, he tests us with a little to see if we're faithful. I know you need a job, and I know you need some good money. Oftentimes, God will give you a part-time job and see how you are faithful with that. You still go to church? You still take care of business? You tithing off $100? If you ain't tithing off $100, you ain't going to tithe off $10,000. Don't say, oh, if I just have more money, I'll give more money. No, don't work that way. God will test you with the little things. So Joseph, he passed the test of trust, but there's another test he had to pass. Number three, Joseph passed the test of time. Joseph did good, right? He did good to the cupbearer. He said, don't forget me. I want to get up out of here. I know I got it good. I got some top ramens, but I still need to get up out of here. And the cupbearer forgot him. Left him in prison 2 more years. And I'm telling you, that will make a grown man cry. I watched him in the holding tank. I read about him. You'll get that later. And he passed the test of time. In fact, he waited a long time. You know, there's one place in this world that I don't like. Is the waiting room in the doctor's office. Anybody feel me on that? Like it, the waiting room of the doctor's office is not the place to be. I mean, it is frustrating in the waiting room. Can I get an amen? Or ouch, either one. It is boring in the waiting room. And it could be dangerous at the waiting room. I don't care who you are. Every time you walk into that waiting room, in the back of your mind, you think you're going to catch a disease. That's why you hold your kids close to you. Don't touch that magazine. I don't care about that magazine. And you touch it anyways. If there's anybody who knew about the waiting room, it was Joseph. From the moment he received his first dream to the moment he became prime minister of Egypt, it was like 20 years. 20 years. David knew about the waiting room. He was anointed king of Israel as a teenager, but didn't get to the throne until he was 30 years old. Let me share with you. God has a waiting room for everybody in here. And you can't ignore it. You can't avoid it. He has a waiting room for you. Some of you right now are in the waiting room because you're not ready for destiny. So God has you in the waiting room because in the waiting room is God's workroom. Did you catch that? The waiting room is God's workroom. It is his operating center, and no one is ever invited into the operating room. You got to go there by yourself. Ain't no magazines on that table. The Bible says in Psalms 40, verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Then I love Psalms 27, verse 14. Look at what he says. I'm going to put it on the board. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And just in case you missed it, he says this. Yes, wait for the Lord. Am I really supposed to wait, Lord? Yes. How long do you want me to wait? Wait. Are you serious? Yes. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. This is a word for somebody in here. Wait on the Lord. Listen, it is dangerous to get ahead of God. It is dangerous to rush destiny. You cannot rush destiny, because if you rush destiny, you're going to mess everything up. Subject to mess your family up. Subject to mess your marriage up. Don't rush destiny. Don't get ahead of God. You better stay behind God. Can we talk like family for a moment? One of the areas where we rush God, rush destiny, is in the area of relationships. We get out of a bad relationship, and the first time someone smiles at us, we think they love us. Oh, you got to smile at that brother. He think he love you. She just being nice. She don't love you. She don't even know you. She just being cordial. She don't love you. Oh, no, she smiled at me. No, you're tripping. You're tripping. Can I take you deeper? You're going to be mad at me. Right? But you know I love you, right? Your picker is broke. Your balcony, I don't think you heard me, because you're kind of far. Your picker is broke. You picked the last three people, and they were bums. They were bums. They didn't do nothing for you, just cause headache. It's time to let God pick the person for you. Even if you have to wait another 2 years, Joseph, wait on the timing of the Lord. Wait on the timing of the Lord, because then you won't regret it. Don't regret it. Oh, yeah, you're going to rush it, but you ain't going to be able to stay there. There's last one thought I want to give you. Adversity advances us to our destiny. Adversity advances us to our destiny. I want you to get this. I'm painting the picture. Joseph is thrown in prison. He just happens to land in the same cell as Pharaoh's assistants. Now, you got to remember this. Before he's in prison, he's at Pharaoh's, Potiphar's house. And he got it going on at Potiphar's house. He's blessed at Potiphar's house. He got money at Potiphar's house. He got a big screen TV at Potiphar's house. He got a big room. He's large. He's in charge. He's running everything. He got juice at Potiphar's house. And then all of a sudden, someone say suddenly, the floor comes up out of Joseph and he falls. And he falls deeper than he ever fell before. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever something bad happened to you and you withstood it, you endured it, and you got to a place where you said, man, things are looking up. You got to a place that maybe you got some money in your pocket again. Maybe you got some peace about your life and you said, man, you know what? Things are going up. And then suddenly the floor comes out from you and you fall again deeper than you ever been. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? Let me tell you something. It probably happened because you got comfortable where you weren't supposed to get comfortable. It probably happened because you settled in a place where you were not supposed to settle in. Hear me, Joseph. Hear me, Joseph. I don't care how good Potiphar's house is. I don't care how much juice you got at Potiphar's house, how much large and in charge you are, how much money you got. Potiphar's house is not your destiny. It's not your destiny. The palace. The palace is your destiny. If you get comfortable in a place, you're not going to get. I've seen it. I've been serving the Lord for over 20 years. It happens to me. Every time I get comfortable, I stop reading my Bible. I stop praying like I should. Inevitably, something wrong happens. And you know what God says? That don't blame it on the devil. It is me shaking up your nest because you got comfortable. And that is not your destiny. The palace is your destiny. Could this be? Could this be? This is the reason why Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:28. I'm going to put it up on the board. That, and we know that God causes everything. The LBC translation is everything. To work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Could this be the reason why Paul gives us this revelation, this behind the scenes revelation, that all things work together for the good? Even the pit, even Potiphar's, and even the prison. I did 16 years in prison. Many of them years I did in a one-man cell. Some of that time I did in the LA County Jail where no windows was, and it was so small I could touch the side of the cell's walls with my hands. Rat infested, roach infested. Several times I was in a cage that was as skinnier as I am, and I had to stay there for hours in a jumpsuit, sometimes with no shoes on. There's one thing I said the fifth year that I was in prison, that I said the 10th year that I was in prison, that I said the 16th year that I was in prison, that I say 8 years after I've been out of prison, and it is this: prison sucks. It sucks. Prison hurt me. Prison made me cry many nights. Prison made my wife cry. Prison made my mom cry. Prison made my dad cry. Prison hurt me, hurt my family, hurt everything about me. But God. But God. But God was with Joseph. But God was with Brian. But God was with you. The same God that is with Joseph is the same God that is with you. But God. And I know this sounds crazy, and I can't even understand it, and it sounds so contradictory, but it is the truth. As I look back now, as I look back 8 years out of my prison experience, I must admit, I don't want to admit it. I don't want to admit it. It hurts me to say it, but I have to tell you the truth. I have to admit it in front of everybody. If I did not go to prison, I would not be the person I am today. I would not be the person I am today. I would not be the father that I am today. I would not be the husband that I am today.
Yes, sir.
I would not be the son that I am today. I would not be the leader that I am today. And as crazy as it sounds, I can now stand with the person who wrote the book of Psalms when he said, "It was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your word." That I might learn your word. And so, whatever you're going through right now, give it to God. Surrender to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And you may not see it now, but I'm coming. I'm speaking faith into you. If you remain faithful, if you remain diligent, 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, you too, like me, are going to be able to look back at your prison experience, and you're going to be saying, "I thank God for what he brought me through, because I wouldn't be the person that I am today." Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a couple moments, I want us to reflect upon how God spoke to you today before we close. There are many Josephs in this house today, and the Lord spoke to you. Some of you are in the pit. Some of you are in Potiphar's house. Some of you are in prison. Some of you are in the palace, but you got to the palace too fast. And your character does not support your destiny. And so God is having mercy on you, and he's still trying to work in your life to get you to be able to sustain your destiny. And I want us to just reflect for a couple moments on how God is speaking to you today through this message.